Lord, we do ask that you would guide this time, this day. We know that you are sovereign, Lord, and we pray that you bring to light the things that need to be brought to light. We rely on you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I don't think we'll do a repeat. I'm on. Good. Need a battery? I felt like last week was sort of a,
in a sense, the emotional sharing. I didn't necessarily time that, or you know, we can't time these things perfectly. But I did feel like last week was a time to where it happened, where I was able to share some things that that Lori and I have been thinking about, praying about, and some explanation of the circumstances that are not easy to comprehend, understand. And as Ken said, we are, you know, we're going to be gone next week. We'll be going back to Georgia to kind of look for housing and that sort of thing. But we'll be in and out, and we'll be around. And there's some of you that we have not been able to sit down personally with. That's been our goal, our effort. So you can help us coordinate that by just speaking up, and we'll. If you have any questions, you know, one thing I shared with you was that if you have your emotions have been up and down, if your feelings have been hurt, if you've been whatever, that's okay. If you've been angry, that's okay. You know, I've been on your side of the fence, and this side of the fence is no easier, I promise.
You know, the circumstances of this, if I had planned this out, you know, I would have planned you guys sending us out to the Middle East, to some village in Africa, to something. That's what I would have thought would have happened.
It is. But every now and then, you know, God just
does these surprise things, and they don't seem good to us. Work it out for us,
work it out for you. And one thing that really struck me last week that we shared was, you know, this is an
organization.
South Georgia Community Church. It is the body. It's a local expression here of God's body. But you guys, you are you. You know, you, whatever life,
wherever life takes you, it's like, no, we're still connected. We are still connected to you. We love you. It's hard to say, oh, we love South Georgia Community Church. We do. We love you. That is who we love. That's who we will miss. That's who we'll continue to pray for. And one of the things that I want to challenge, I have a few this morning, but one of the things is that this church has been prayed for. You have been prayed for. And I'm not saying that it's just by me or just by Lori by any means, but at the same time, That voice to God still needs to be heard. That there's a special thing that makes you pray when you feel the burden. You know, you may not have in the past felt the burden of Sunday morning. I have felt it, and I've prayed. And admittedly, in the last couple few months, if things have in a sense gone downhill a little bit with our situation, there hasn't been the time. And you know. But historically, everything we have done, whether that's the ladies getting together, it's been prayed for. Not just by you, it's been prayed for by me. And so I won't know about every detail, you know. So that gap needs to be filled in. That needs to happen. There needs to be prayer. Every person here needs to be prayed for, watched over. So I put that out there. As I said, the timing of these things can't be done perfectly. We can't say, okay, we're going to take care of everything, and this is the very last Sunday you'll see us. Well, no, that's not going to be the case. We're going to be in and out a bit for a little while here until we, and then we'll call you and say, hey, I hope that any whatever anger feelings are gone by then so that you can come and help with a pure heart. So we will do that. like I said, those of you we've not gotten with, some of you we've already gotten with, but we want to again, so we're open. We definitely, we will make that happen. We'll just try to just coordinate that with us. As I said, last week we had, I believe, it was an emotional week for me. Painfully this morning, actually, I didn't listen to it. I don't listen to all the messages, but I went back and kind of listened. It was hard to listen to. It must have been hard to sit there, too. But, so I'm not going to go, I don't think I'm going to go through that again. But a couple of things that I want to share with you. You know, in our time here, preaching and teaching is the foundation. Preaching the word, teaching the word. And many of you have picked up the teaching of firm foundation, the importance of studying, understanding God's word, all that. It's been foundational to what we do here. So because of that, now I know I always talk about relationship too, but because of that, sometimes I've got a little bit focused on that preaching and that, and something kind of, people have been communicating to me, but another thing woke me up to that. And we got a letter from Faith. And, you know, we knew Faith, that's Pat and Stacy's daughter, Faith, long before we really knew Pat and Stacy. We met, actually, Pat brought Faith over. How old was Faith? 11. And she came over, she was going to work with Caleb, and we didn't know Pat and Stacy from anybody, and Faith is the one that was our connection point. That's who we got to know. And, you know, although Faith was in our home just regularly all the time, you know, I never, usually I do this, but I never viewed Faith like, oh, we're discipling Faith or we're having an impact on our life. I never thought about that. I thought, man, we love Faith. She's just huge help to us. We just appreciate her investment in Caleb's life. And we have over and over talked about that, and we just really appreciated her. But she wrote us this letter and just floored us. It's like, I bet Faith, the number of sermons that Faith heard me preach, you can count on one hand. She has not heard me preach. But she understood everything we're about. She described what went on in our home and the impact that had on her life and how she had been discipled. Something that people have been trying to tell us, and it's a message to you too, is that getting behind this pulpit is not what gives you the opportunity to impact lives. You know, I know that. I would be the first person to tell you that. But somehow that letter grabbed my attention because she had never heard me, really, essentially never heard me preach a sermon from here. But our lives, and she talked about Caleb, she talked about Lori, she talked about me, how this whole combination in our home of when she walked in, of the spirit that she kind of felt, or and the way she saw all the guys coming and going in the Bible studies, and she used to come on Sunday night. You remember, we used to meet on Sunday night and have dinner together, and she would watch the kids unseen. She'd watch the kids downstairs, but how her life was dramatically, the way she worded it was that she would never be the same after witnessing and being like that. So that really is, I have found that I think as important as preaching is to me, as passionate as I have been about this, as serious as I take it, that's not been the primary vehicle of how God has used us here. And we started thinking about the lives that it impacted, and the list is long. And you have that same opportunity. I had no more, you understand what I'm saying? I had no more opportunity than anybody else to do that. You don't all have the opportunity to stand up here, or the responsibility, or the pressure, or whatever you might call it. But you do have that other opportunity and that pressure. You just may not feel it on a regular scheduled basis. But that opportunity to impact lives, and it's the realness. That's the thing, and I think that's how we have lived as a church here. It's been raw at times, because it's been honest. It's been real. And that's the way we have done life together. So if we want to cry, we cry. If we're angry, what I've seen is that we share with one another. Look, I didn't like what you did there. That's the way it should be. And it impacts people's lives, the kind of realness. Because what happens, I will tell you, is that they will see Jesus in you. Because Jesus, if he was nothing else, he was absolutely real. And I think about his life with those 12 men. And I got a text this morning. Ken and Kerry had been trying to get in touch with us in vain, because we've not been, our lives have been contained here. We have not been able to respond to a lot of people, and so we hadn't responded. And finally, Kerry texted me this morning, and she said, "Okay, I listened to your sermon last Sunday. I know what's going on. We're praying for you. Here's my message for your, here's my verse for your church." And so I'll share that verse with you that I got this morning. Maybe that was God, because I'm saying, I don't know what to share today. What do you, I can't just, I thought, well, I'll just preach a normal sermon. That would be appropriate, but I just, that didn't work. So I'll give you the verse that Carrie texted me this morning, and then I'll have a couple more. But it's in Philippians 2:12. If I could share with you one other thing, we were over at Troy and Carmen's, and where is that guy? I'll share this quick then before he gets there. I'll tell it anyway. So anyway, we were able to catch up with them. I'm not going to say that Troy was mad at us, but maybe he was. But you know, part of that is what I was talking about, Troy, that you missed, was that the realness of the way that we have lived life together here is that it's not pretend, it's not surface. You know, it's not. Troy didn't just say, "Oh, that's okay." No, he talked to me. You know, and he wouldn't even let us sit down before he started talking to me and saying, "Listen, Steve, I want to talk to you about this." And I really, really, really appreciate that. And another thing I was sharing too is that, you know, the impact of lives. I always thought, man, this impacts people so much. Sundays are so powerful, and they are. I felt like our Sundays together have been so important, and God has been so extremely faithful to a guy that is not polished. God has been faithful to us. But Troy emphasizes, along with that letter from faith, was that Troy was talking about how his life had been impacted. And it was like, the thing that Troy brought up was time in the garage. Time just hanging out. Time in the Bible study, but this life, that impact of life on life that we all have available to us to use. And it's like, I wanted, in a sense, every time I tried to be more official, it doesn't work. You know, I tried to, Glenn, I tried to bequeath to you all my old ski gear and say, look, this is all the stuff that all the guys left that we used to go and ski together, ski up to the cabin, and we built relationships, and so I want to give this to you, Glenn, and you can do this too. And Glenn says, my garage is too crowded. I go, you know, things happen more organically around here than just this official thing of, here, take this. It's like, you still have to do it, okay? You know the heart of what I'm talking about. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I have some other things to encourage you in, but this is the verse that Carrie sent for us today in Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence. How much more in my absence continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God, not Stephen Lorie or Ken Pat or whoever. It's God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. And you know, we've explained this verse in recent days, that this is not about working for your salvation. Your salvation, that was taken care of. You see, like the cross, the blood of Jesus took care of that. But there's this other part of the cross, we've talked about that. The full gospel was that we were identified with His death of His body on the cross. So that took care of our flesh. We all understand that. We all understand what it means to have our flesh take over. The attitude, the words, or whatever. That is what we have to work out every day, where we submit our will to Him. Because of this, interaction with God makes interaction with people count for something. That is. You know, if I could use Carlton again, I know I've used him for an example, but didn't you like to interact with Carlton? Wasn't that just a joy? You know, Carlton wasn't out, boisterous, loud, making this huge, giant impact. Why did I like to interact with Carlton? Because I knew Carlton interacted with God. And I didn't just know it because he told me. I knew it because our hearts met when we were together. If you are interacting with God, it makes your interacting with people something. It makes it count. That does not mean having an agenda with people. The church cannot evangelize like that, having an agenda with people. But if we truly love them, if we're interacting with God, and He is seen in us, it goes on to say in this, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. How do we shine like stars? It's this thing of... it's the revival that Keith was talking about last week. It's really putting God first in your life. It's really submitting your will every single day, working out your salvation. If you will do that, if you will every day believe the life of Jesus in you, you may not feel it. Okay? Don't be alarmed if you do not feel it, but believe it to be true. See, that is the battle. Every day. Believe it to be true. Think, count on His life, Jesus living His life in you. You will change the world. There's no other way that you would have changed the world. It's simple. It's simple. You do not have to be in leadership. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit. You don't. That, and as I look back, that's not how we have impacted the CrossFit South Valley, the CrossFit community, the church, the people that have come through our home. Is not from here that we did that. Oh, this is good, but that's not how we really impacted the lives here. And so whatever we did, you can do. You can't, but we have the life of Jesus in us. You have the life of Jesus in you. If you're interacting with God, you're walking with Him. You're fellowship. You're following a person, Jesus. He will be seen in you. And you're unlimited in what God can, desires, will do through you. I'm not telling you will always know. Every now and then the curtains will open. You may see, like it has for us recently. You may see the lives that are impacted. Every now and then, a lot of times it won't. You'll be discouraged. Believe the life of Jesus in you. Believe the flesh does not have power over you. And when you fail, get up. Repent. 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 1,000 times a day. His blood takes care of all those failures. Just get back up. continue doing what he's called you to do, living the life of Christ. Think about it every day. That's how you shine like stars. There's been a theme, and I've touched on it here, and we've studied through 1 Thessalonians, one of the places. You know, it's kind of a neat thing if you go to the website and you go look at the titles of all the sermons. Those are the things that we haven't just, those are things that have been lived out among us. Just go through and it gives you a little review of the last 10 years or whatever. It's kind of interesting. But here we went through 1 Thessalonians, and this is the theme that stood out to us, this theme. And so you can go there and it'll be very familiar to you, because we, anytime we get on something, we stay on it and beat it into the ground. But I guess we remember it like that. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Sharing the gospel in your life as well. You know, we don't get off so easy. And I know I've gotten in trouble for saying this before. Doesn't usually stop me. You know, the gospel on the radio is really good. The gospel in tracts, that's really good. The gospel in a book, that's really good. The gospel when you meet somebody on the airplane, that's really good. I've done all of those things, except the radio. But I've done all those things. I've done all those things in my past. And I don't regret them. But this is real. Sharing the gospel in your life as well. Because we want another notch in our belt. Because we want credit from God. Because we loved you dearly. We share the gospel in our life as well. So I would ask you again, what if every single person here, you don't need any more people. I mean, they will come if you do this. But what if every single person
turned fully to God and put Him first in everything? Surrender, submit, follow, by
faith. Daily aware of the life of Jesus in you. By faith. Not by faith.
Then you'll live the life of Christ. What more could you do? What more could you do?
So that is, I know there's more profound thing. I thought I should say something really profound, but
I guess we can carry on and step where we can. God is not through with you. He desires to do more. He desires to do more.
So I'm going to get out of the way and let Him. I guess I'm not sure of the exact plan of events. Well, I guess one question that I would like, I know that you were going to give people an opportunity to share something, Ken, or how you want to orchestrate that, but one question along with that is, I would like to know too, is in a sense of, what have you learned? You know, not just,
if you appreciate us, certainly we want to know that.
But in one sense, I already know that too, you know? I love you, you love us, I feel completely, both sides. And so, but tell us again. I'm fine with that. Just like, you know, you won't mind me telling you. But at the same time, maybe if there's something that stands out to you,
that stands out to you, either from life on life or from teaching,
in our time, it's good to reflect. What have you learned? What is God, you know, those things that just come to the surface of, what has God impacted your life with? What's the main thing? That could be it. Share the gospel in your life as well. That might be something.
Something from
1 Peter. It could be something that we never said from here.
If there's something that God, some way that God has really impacted your life through this body over these last how many ever years, few or months or days or apart.
Should we do that now, Ken, or what would you like, is that, or do you want to come up here?
I'm just going to share a couple things, and I mentioned the verses I'm going to share. I mentioned last Saturday night, a week ago, 8 days ago when we got together to talk about the forward direction. I shared some verses, and they'd come out of a discussion, and I mentioned that. And I'll just kind of re-share the story because Steve and Lori weren't there, although I'm sure they'll remember it. But so we'd had a couple leave the church, their family, just before I deployed to Afghanistan. And so I'd been in communication with them, and you know, one of the questions that had come up was this particular individual thought that Steve's emphasis was too focused on. I mean, there's two things, interestingly enough, that he challenged when they left, that Steve focused too much on having quiet time and spending time in prayer. And kind of fascinating. And, you know, and with it, throughout some other things. And the verse that had come to my mind, I mean, I wrote them a long letter. I went back and looked at it. Went back and looked at it this morning. Actually, it was 23 pages long. So I didn't really have a whole lot else to do in the small amount of free time I had while I was deployed. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, which I shared last week. So Paul was writing to the church in Philippi. He said, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." And the point I had made, and really the main point I had made in my letter, was that of all the people I've known in my entire life, Steve Lane is just like Paul is writing to Timothy there. He's interested in genuinely concerned for your welfare, but not just your personal welfare, although he's always been concerned for that too. Because that just goes for a short period of time. Our life here is very brief. This wasn't going to happen, by the way. So anyway, our life here is very brief. We have a short period of time in the scale of eternity. And so he's interested in that, but more concerned for your eternal welfare and where you're going to spend eternity. With Christ, we're separated from God. Because all the things we take for granted in this earth, all the things that are wonderful, even in a fallen world, all the good that we see exist, be separated from Christ removes all of that. It's kind of interesting. Steve talked about the lesson learned. I tell you, there's four things. Steve's core message over the years. An interesting thing is these were some of the things challenged when that original discussion. How do we get the power to live a life that Steve was talking about? And these are things we've talked about over and over again. And the fact of the matter is, so the four things that make a difference is time in the Word. If you're not spending time in the Bible, then you will not be connected to the power source that you need to live. It's just a fact. You can try it. If people have been successful where they've been put in a position, they've been in prison, where they couldn't spend time in the Word, God has already honored that. But every one of us probably has. You know, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 400 or 500 years ago, where Christians, got them. We got them in our home. Every one of us probably has, you know, more Bibles than we can shake a stick at. But we have to take that time to do that. So that was number one. Number two, time in prayer. So you have to build that relationship with Christ. No different than a marriage relationship or a relationship with your best friend. You don't call him your best friend and not ever talk to him. So there's communication that happens with that. And even if you have a super relationship with someone, if you don't communicate, you know, that relationship, it's maybe not separate. You may still be friends, but you know, it's not the same when you're not in that communication. And God requires that, desires that. If you want to be plugged into the power, you have to build that relationship. Time and fellowship, you know, that's just, you have to be plugged into the church. And I'd shared a story a couple times in church. Pastor had a guy over, and he said, "You know, I don't need church." He goes, "I have a relationship with God, and I don't need to be around a bunch of other Christians. I know who I am, So this pastor, Dale Moody, they were sitting in his room, and he had a fireplace. And so he went over and he pulled a hot coal out of the fireplace. He didn't make any other comment when the guy said that. He grabbed that hot coal. It was burning red. And he took it out and he set it on the hearth. And then he walked back and he sat down. And so he just sat there, and they kind of observed it. And that, almost immediately started to dim. And then pretty soon it was black. Now there was no fire in it. And he didn't say another word about it. But the guy got the message right away, is that, the only way that coal burned hot, the only way that coal flamed was when it was around other coals. And it's the same with the Christian. If you're not fellowshipping, if you're not with other believers, you'll flame out. And the last was life on life discipleship, and Steve talked about that. But ultimately, all those things wrap together. And when you spend time in the Word, and when you spend time in prayer, when you spend time in fellowship, all of a sudden, your relationship with Christ comes to the forefront, and life on life discipleship just happens, just like it did with faith, just like it's done with many of you here in lots of different circumstances. And so the interesting thing is, so as I was reading, just glancing through this letter, and my summary, and I was kind of around to read this, because I think it's a great blueprint for us as we look at the road ahead. So to this couple, I wrote, in summation, after nearly a month of study, because it took me a long time to write a response, in contemplation about your email and SJCC, here is what I see in SJCC. Church body still committed to going deeper and having a true focus on God. A church body where people can fail and still be accepted, where mistakes can be forgiven instead of turning into a grudge for life. Anytime you have people, you're going to have failure and mistakes. A church body where leaders in every type of ministry are held accountable to the standards established by God and in a loving way. Number 4, a church that offers eternal food for the hungry, not just a promise of nice music, an entertaining story, and a warm bench for 1 hour of every week. 5, a church full of believers at every stage of walk, moving and struggling toward wholehearted commitment to God under the discipleship of shepherds. 6, a church with shepherds dedicated to discipleship and committed to being a part of the lives of their flock, not as distant, uncommitted teachers. We don't want the money that gives lives with the troubled brothers. 7, a church body full of humans that will make mistakes. And then 8, a church body where the number one commitment will be to call others to a relationship with God, where they can enter into the rest that Jesus speaks of in Matthew chapter 11. Any other rest is a lie with eternal consequences. And I'll tell you that as I looked at that, I thought, that's a great blueprint for where we've been and where we want to continue to go. And as at some point in the next couple months, 2, 3, 4 months, ADS, after the dust settles, that we will pursue a pastor. And those are the things I think that can probably set a focus for the start of where we go, and how we look for the right guy to fill the pulpit. And then one interesting thing, just in the time, John asked about firm foundations and some other things. I've been a Christian since I was, second or third grade. I gave my life to Christ. But I never really understood the Bible in its entirety, although I'd heard the stories, really until I went through firm foundations. So I was 36 years old when I heard that. Now some of you that have been here a long time have heard. So I was pursuing, after I got active duty in the Army, I was pursuing a job with the FBI, and that kind of got stalled out. And we were going to Gateway, and then met Stephen Murray, and started going to firm foundations. The guy started working in my heart. I went through the process with the FBI, and I had to go do a polygraph. And it's called a lifestyle polygraph. So the guy that administered it asked me a series of questions. In order to pass the polygraph, you had to say no. So have you ever told a lie? If the answer is yes, you can't pass the polygraph. So that means you have to share, this guy I'd never ever met before. Any time that, you know, that came to mind, as far as have ever lied, have ever stolen anything, have ever broken someone's trust. All sorts of questions. Do you routinely break the law? And ultimately, he had to answer no in order to pass it. So anything that sprung to mind on any of those questions, I had to explain to this guy I've never met before. And it kind of did two things. First off, it kind of killed my desire to be in the FBI. Kind of an interesting thing after all the time and energy had been put into that. And then number two is that it reminded me, like, you know what, someday I'm going to stand before God. This is going to be just like that. So he's going to know the answers. And he's going to remember all the ones that I couldn't remember. And thankfully, I told my mom about it. She's like, oh yeah. She started to talk. I'm like, stop. I don't want to remember anymore. There's others that you thought of. I don't want to know about it because it just muddies the waters. Thanks for the tissues. So I actually started across the country to do the FBI and turned around in Nebraska and I came back. And God definitely called us here. But the thing is, in the church body, the other thing that I've noticed over the years. In this church, we have met a lot of people. We've had a lot of people that sat out here, and some are still here, and some that came a long ways. The interesting thing that we can at least hang our hat on is that we have never sugarcoated anything about what it takes to follow Christ. And so we've had many people that have moved on just because they moved. You know, modern society requires that too many times. But the interesting thing is with that is that people have either made a choice to pursue God or they've turned away. And through firm foundations and through the way that we've done things, they walked right up to that edge and they knew what they were doing. No one that's ever spent any amount of time here will ever be able to at least stand before God when they're doing that lifestyle polygraph and say, you know what, I didn't know. If you've spent some time here, you know, and you've made a decision. And so I don't know that we can ask much more of a church and a pastor to have brought us to a point where we can be comfortable that we didn't, when we were friendly, we were everything, we tried everything to be genuinely concerned for people's welfare, but most importantly, we've been genuinely concerned for where they spend their eternity, and I thank you, Steve and Lori, for that. Christ story, because it is the story of Christ. The whole Bible is that, and it's made a huge difference in the lives of of my family, and certainly in the lives of this church. So that's the piece that I want to share. It wasn't all that brief, so my apologies. And then I have one other thing, non for me. So this was I sent a note to David in the Middle East, and so he had sent this email. And so this is from David. He said, "Dear Steve, where to begin? From the moment I met you and heard you preach, it was clear the supernatural empowered life flowing in, through, and out of you. You've been a great friend and true model leader. Thank you for allowing so many people in your inner circle of grace and pursuit of the Master's heart. In becoming close to you, I realized not only was your teaching spirit-filled and led, but also made powerful by your life matching it. As we discuss so often, their quarterback, leader, pointing the way from a standstill, but rather are the one saying, 'I'll show you the way by going first.' I am forever grateful for your eternal impact in my life. Dear Lori, as you know how much Steve has meant to me, I start by saying he is half the man without you at his side. You have shown me true meaning of partner, for you are a great woman of God with wisdom and practicality that combined creates a divine partnership unequaled in this world. Dear Caleb, my little brother, I miss our times together. When the trail gets tough or steep or dark or cold, we don't give up, do we? No, we keep going. I admire your spirit and your perseverance when something has a hold of your focus. Stay strong, little man.
Bam!
Love and thankfulness, a friend and brother forever, David." So with that, I'll open it up to anyone else.